The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. The bad seat, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad under bad tape, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Varela Palatial, right across the river and through the woods from where Grandma likes to take my chrome cake when she's drinking shots of JMO in New York City. The Big Apple, ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, a rigid driver, some kind of fashion shake it up, should do be all my friend that come around, flash a party, old rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown with a mess, it's not so tight, and my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should be check out, ooh, hey, what's gigging? It's Pharrell with Carver High this evening, and right now, it's 59-45 Nuggets with under two in the half. First half, it's been all Denver, and the only thing that I can think about, Murray with a sweet wing J, 61-45. The only thing I can think about when I'm watching this game is, how are they going to blow it? I mean, you know what, Pope just hit a three bomb. It's a 13-point game. It was up to 18, and you're just waiting for the inevitable, aren't you? I mean, like, there's nothing I want to see more than the Nuggets win this game. And there's Murray throwing one away into the stands. So it's just a matter of time before it's a one-point game or a Lakers 10-point lead.
Is far from over, and you know.
This game hasn't even started yet. It hasn't even started yet because you know that they were up 18. It's already down to 13. They're going to chip away, and they'll be winning this game in the second half. Here's LeBron with a layup. It's 11. I mean, it's choke city. That's what it is. You know, how are they going to be able to hold a lead against the Lakers? I'm going to puke.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell with you. So, honestly, I want to commit Harry Carey over watching the Lakers. Not only do I think they're going to choke this lead for sure, they're not going to win by 10 or 15 or 18. This game, the Lakers, do you have any doubt, Carver High, that they'll have a lead in this game in the second half?
I don't. I think that they will at some point get a lead in this game again. Doesn't mean they'll win the game, but they will get back to one possession or take a lead. It'll be there.
Right. So when you saw the end of the game, half right there, right? So, and what happened? You know, all I know is that they had a couple shots. Millsap the three, missed. Then they got a rebound, and then Jokic went and drove or tried to throw it back up, and he got fouled, no call. He walked over to the ref with Malone standing right there, and he said, I mean, you know, honestly, can you give me some love? And then the ref looked at him like he was had seven eyes. And then he proceeded to walk off the court with LeBron James. And what did I say? Get dinner reservations, those two. Because have you ever seen anything like, honestly, can you even explain to me how deep this guy is in their satchel page? I mean, honestly, how deep is this guy in their bones? Honestly, because I have never seen a guy work the refs like LeBron James does and the Lakers on every single whistle, every call, every whistle, every stop, every game. It doesn't matter. It does not. It doesn't matter what series, what team they're playing. It just, they work them like not, they might as well not even have Frank Vogel. They don't need a coach. Because LeBron works them like no coach has ever worked them in a. LeBron James makes Bob Knight look boring, the way he works refs. Am I wrong? You can't even argue with it, L.A. You can't even argue with it, Lipstick City. Come on, you know it's true. There's nothing wrong with that either. It's total manipulation of the refs in the highest order. And he's got it down to a science. I mean, like, he is Jesus of suburbia working those refs. Is he not? Like, have you ever seen anything like, I just saw the ref walk off the court with him like they were going to be lovers. Like, I'll meet you in the tunnel afterwards. We'll have a steak and go French kiss. Let's go. Yeah,
they could be up 15. They could be up 15 or 20. And he still talks to them after every whistle. He still has something to say to them. He made baskets, up 15, down 15.
Telling them how to do their job.
Constantly working the refs. Constantly. He's got something to say to them.
And you know it's not about anything other than helping the Lakers. It's just all about.
No, I mean, he's not asking.
Guilty.
Yeah.
Denver's doing this. Denver's doing that. You got to make this call. And it's not both ways. It's just you've got to give us this call. And then they do it. Did you see the rejection? Did you see the rejection that Joker had on Rondo with about a minute left? And then the ball went off of Rondo's hand as sure as day. There isn't a person on the face of the earth that didn't see it get rejected right back into his hand and out of bounds. And they still gave the ball to the Lakers. Did you see it?
It's embarrassing.
It is unbelievable. They get every call. Did you see the Grant? Did you see the Grant foul on Davis? I mean, he breathed on him. A breath hit him. But nothing else. Not a hand, not a body, nothing. On that little baseline popper, he gave him the three-point play. I mean, that guy gets the ball, Davis, and he gets a whistle before he even catches the ball. He gets to the line every single time he touches the ball. And here's the deal. Weber and Reggie Miller, right? They're like in a porno. They're working it for the Lakers so bad on TNT. These two are like in a menage a trois porno working it for the Lakers. You know, did you hear Reggie's game plan? Reggie's offense for the Lakers is give Davis the ball every single time down, and that's the whole offense. Just give it to him, let him score 30 or 40, and you're not going to lose. And it's really not the worst offense I ever thought of. But like his, you know, do they think he's some kind of star in the booth or something, or is he just doing this?
I hope not.
When did he start doing this? Like a year ago or something?
No, he's been doing it a while. These guys have been at it a long time now. You would think that by now they would be a little bit better, because they're not. I mean, I can't stand when those two guys are doing a game and the two of them doing it together. Just makes it even worse. And it's amazing because TNT's studio show is so good, and they have so many good personalities. Say what you want about Charles, you know, him and Shaq and Kenny together with her, you know, it's a great team. And then during the game, I mean, Weber just, you could take a nap listening to him and some of the stuff that he says. And Miller, I can't take either. So it's amazing how both sides of the spectrum their broadcast teams are.
It's very uncomfortable. I think that with this is just me, not that I know anything. I don't know anything. I'm just saying. I think Brian Anderson is very it's an uncomfortable threesome. They should have – it's not as good without Harlan or Marv Albert. And I know Marv's like 130 now, but he's not at the bubble. And it's just not the same. So they got this other guy doing the games, and he does everything, baseball and NBA. And I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying it just doesn't work. And I know they think it does, but just as a normal basketball fan, I'm willing to say it doesn't. And here's the thing about Chuck. I think this show's awesome. I give it 5 stars. Incredible. I've been friends with Ernie going way back to my Atlanta days. I love them. They're all cool. But the whole bit about I guarantee, and they make that noise. You know what I'm talking about with the green stamp? Do you know what I'm talking about? His guarantee and I guarantee.
Yeah, have you ever seen? Yes, I've
seen it. It's the most painfully overdone bit. It's the worst zany radio bit I've ever seen in my life. They have been running that clip every night for 3 months, and I literally want to stick a 9 Glock in my mouth every time I hear it.
Well, here's what we're going to do, Jeff. We're going to take this whenever Charles has a big pick. What we're going to do is we're going to make this sound, and we're going to, you know, it's going to be so great. People are going to eat it up.
Guarantee. And you know what? It is so painful that I cannot believe not one person, and I worked at Turner Sports, okay? So I worked around a lot of, you know, I think pretty smart people. I cannot believe not one person in that truck says, this has gotten pathetic. Somebody stop it. Just stop doing this. It's not funny anymore. It might have been funny the first week, but 3 months later that they're still stamping that green guarantee every time Chuck opens his mouth, I literally want to jump off a cliff. Every time they run it, I want to jump off a cliff. It's so overdone. It's like, I mean, it is just so, it's like going to the well with the same joke for like 20 years. You know,
Kids love it.
What kids watch this show?
Kids love that show. Yes.
They don't. My Gunner watches the NBA. He doesn't watch that for 1 minute. I mean,
I'm
literally.
For us, the kids, the 18 to 22 year olds, the kids love it.
Okay. Well, here's what happens, just so you know, because I got those kids. And here's what he does. The minute the game is at halftime or at the end of the game, it's over. He's out. Like at halftime, he's running for something like chicken nuggets, like a soda. He's running out the door. And then when the game's over, he's immediately on PS4 playing NBA 2K or playing Fortnite or whatever it is that they play. God only knows. He's probably cooking meth in the other room. I don't even know. But I know he's not watching Chuck. He doesn't do it. Trust me. He barely goes and plays ball, let alone. And by the way, you know, his knee problem is back. Remember, he's had like 2 surgeries on the knee. So he went out and played ball the other day. His knee's the size of a cantaloupe. It's unbelievable. I played today. I had 1,000 points in about an hour. 3 rejections. At least I didn't get in a fight today. It was a good day. I didn't get in a fight. I averaged 1 fight every time I got. Oh my God, you know who's on next? Legend, the Golden Muzzy from Toronto, talking Stanley Cup Finals on.
Hey, Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. So we thought we'd take a break from the Nuggets' 10-point lead over the Lakers that'll be dissipated in about 5 minutes in the third quarter. I'll be shocked if they don't blow that lead. They were up 18, and they cut that almost in half in about 2 minutes. So all I know is, you know, I told you real quick, I bet on them today for the last time. This is it. I'm, you know, I bet on them a lot when they beat the Jazz and the Clippers, and I made everybody a lot of money. That's cool. But then I took them in game one. They got their ass pasted against the Lakers. And then I've gone Lakers game two, game three. What is it now? This is game three. Is that what it is? It's 2-0. So game three, I went back to the well.
Game three,
I went back to the well with the Nuggets. And I said today on Coast to Coast, this will be the last time I bet on the Nuggets. If they don't win the night outright and cover that 6.5, because I took them on the money line and the spread to win the game. If they don't do it tonight, they'll get swept. That'll be it. They're going to get swept. There's not going to be any 3-1 comeback. There's not going to be any 3-0 comeback. Because they gave it all on the line in game two. And if they lose tonight, that's it. So we'll see if they choke this off. They're starting the third quarter. But I wanted to talk about the Stanley Cup Finals. Who better to talk with about it than the Golden Muzzy legend, Nick Alberga in Toronto. He does the pre and post for the Stanley Cup Finals on Sportsnet. I think I got that right. I hope I did. And we love him on the bench. He's been on the show forever and coast to coast as well on Sports Grid. He's been with us a number of years talking hockey. Muzzy, my man.
Scotty, if you got it wrong, I wouldn't be on the air with you. It's great to be on with you, and I'm with you. I'm riding the money line with Denver as I watch this game, but I just have that feeling LeBron's going to take over any second, no?
Right. Like I told Carver, I got the 9 Glock sitting right next to me in here that I'm going to shove in my mouth when they blow this game because you know that it's coming. Like, when they were up 18, I thought they'd choke. I have literally been, my tuchus has been puckered for an hour. I know that it's coming. It's like knowing the hurricane's going to hit landfall between 2 and 3 a.m. and you're still looking out the window wondering if it's going to start raining. I mean, it's coming. You know it's going to happen. And, you know, Davis, I'll bet Davis scores 30 and he'll be at 30 points within 15 minutes.
You're right. The NBA is just so difficult to gamble on, I find, especially because of the calls right late in games. LeBron, and you know, you don't want to get into the conversation about officiating, but LeBron tends to get calls late in games. So I'm totally with you. I hope my boy Jamal Murray, a Canadian product out of Kitchener, figures this out. I love those shoes at least, but I think this could dissipate quickly here in the third.
He just missed two free throws to start the third, and They're up 10 still. LeBron missed a J. But let's talk about the Stanley Cup Finals. So I guess right off the bat, so I bet on Dallas in game one. I bet on Tampa in game two. I hit both games. And then I kind of feel like this is just me, that the Lightning are going to win this like they did the other series that they played. Getting to this point, the only team that gave them a game, if you ask me, were the Islanders. What was it, 4-2? But the Islanders had them right where they wanted them. They were in their skin for sure, like a rash, but they couldn't get it done. I feel like at some point this is going to be the same ending in this thing as well. They're going to win it like 4-1 or 4-2, just like they did the 4-1, 4-1, and 4-2. Am I crazy? Because I like Dallas a lot. I just think Tampa's better.
Well, first and foremost, my deepest condolences to Mike Carver on the New York Islanders being unfortunate and not being able to tame the Tampa Bay Lightning. They put up a good fight. They just are one or two goal scorers away from beating Tampa.
What a guy.
Number two, hey, man, I'm a classic guy. You know that, Carver. Scotty, when it comes to your question, my thoughts exactly. I think we knew what we were getting into when it came to game one. You had a tired Tampa team. They played that way. Dallas took advantage. Game two, I thought Tampa was okay. I still think they have a couple notches to go in terms of playing the game we've seen them play in the past. They took care of business, hung on for that 3-2 win. And I'm with you again. I think Tampa finds a way here in game three. And even looking forward, don't forget the back-to-back Friday-Saturday, which is very unconventional, way different than we've ever seen before in the Stanley Cup Final, to have a back-to-back, at least in recent memory. And I think the two teams will split. And I guess I'll preface by saying I took Tampa in six games, and I still feel that way, although I know Carver is pushing seven games for betting reasons. But I'm beating the same drum as you. I am.
Well, look, I mean, you know, I got to tell you, it's the first time I've said anything nice about refs in, I'd say, close to 7 months. But I have to say, I thought that was a really good call last night on the Coleman being offsides, because Sergachev scored the goal and he was offside by 2 feet, and they got it right. Because when I watched the NBA, I feel like they never get calls right, and they have these mysterious calls. Even that Jokic, he blocked Rondo with about a minute left and a half right off of his hand out of bounds. They still gave the ball to the Lakers right in front of the guy's face. And then Jokic and Murray looked at him like, are you nuts? All they do is just gift the Lakers everything. Like, LeBron's so far in their pants, he's like a porn star. All I know is, and then in the NFL, that pass interference last night on that deep ball at the end of the game, that would have been punt the ball to the Saints. They go down 2 minutes. Get in, tie it, go to overtime. You got a game. Instead, they gift him that pass interference from 30 yards away. The guy throws the flag. The guy on top of the play didn't call it. You and I didn't call it. We didn't think it was pass interference, but that guy throws it from 30 yards. So the first thing I said last night was, I'm going to give an NHL ref the credit they deserve. For the first time ever, I thought they called a good game, and I thought they made the right call on that goal. But that 3-goal lead, they almost blew it. I mean, they were up 3-0, and then they thought they had it in the bag. Next thing you know, it was 3-2, and they had many chances, Dallas, to tie that game.
You're right. Your analogies, by the way, are always spot on, even as sexual as they are. I think you look at this series thus far in the officiating. I mean, we've seen 14 power plays through two games, and it's, you know, very fascinating, especially when you look at Tampa. And I know Steven Stamkos hasn't played a game in a bubble, and he's getting closer from what we're, finding out that he could make a debut at some point in time. But they have the most potent power play in the league when they're humming. And Dallas gave them life. Do not forget that in game two. I don't think Tampa started as well as they thought they would or wanted to, at least coming off that loss in game one. Well, they got three power plays in the first period. They made a subtle change going off two defensemen. They put Palat at the left point, took Sergachev off PP1. Next thing you know, they were 2-for-3, got Kucherov going, got Hedman going, got Point going. It's those subtle tweaks that can get a team going. And that's why I think going forward in this series, we've seen Dallas peak here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'm not sold just yet that we've seen Tampa play their best game yet. And that's why I wonder if that could happen tomorrow night in game three of this series.
Yeah, the Golden Muzzy with us, Nick Alberga in Toronto. Let me ask you. So I said today on the show that I feel like, you know, as hardcore fans and into the media scene like you are with hockey, and we are as fans that constantly not only bet on hockey, but talk hockey. I think I talk more hockey than anyone, frankly, in America, on at least on the radio and TV. I don't know anyone that dedicates any time at all to hockey. I mean, ESPN spends about 2 minutes on it with Melrose, and that's about it, right? So ever since they lost hockey, they don't care about it. That's all there is to it. So here's my point is that, and I want to get you to talk more about this when we get out of the break, but here's what I wanted to tell you about. I said this today, and I mean it. I think the league is evolving from the standpoint of, and only guys like us would understand this. I'm honest when I say this, is that when I see guys like Draisaitl, Yossi, Hellebuck, and I think, was that about it? Carver High, was there another award I'm missing? Oh yeah, Makar. Okay, so that was the last one. Those four that I gave out today. I think it's a great thing for the league because, in all honesty, all we've ever seen year after year after year after year after year is the same people like Crosby and Ovechkin and the same. It's always the same thing. The same Norris winner. It was like back in the day, Lidstrom, and it was just always the same guys. There was never any fresh blood, in my opinion. These are the core guys in the league that everyone knows about, and no one else matters. And to see the evolution of the game, where I just saw four guys that no one's ever heard of, and no one's ever heard of any of them. Let's get real. People in Canada, fair enough, they know who Draisaitl is and Hellebuck, but and don't tell me anybody else knows these other guys. Roman Yossi, it sounds like something from Gladiator. I mean, honestly, I don't even know who is that. Is that Russell Crowe? He fought him in Rome. I don't know who that is. I know who it is. You know who it is. Carver, I knows who it is. But like, can you imagine if I asked my son who's Roman Yossi? He'd think I was playing a trick on him. And then Kale Makar, whatever the hell his name is, no one's ever heard of any of them. And so my point is that I think it's great for the NHL to finally get, and I don't care about writers. I care about, no offense to them, because they do a great job, but I think it's great that four guys that no one's ever heard of won something in the NHL for the first time since before Christ.
I think you're just trying to sneak in Ilya Kovalchuk's name because he's a former Thrasher into this conversation, right? Is that where we're headed here?
Maybe.
I think it's a popularity contest. You're totally right. And we can go on for days about the voting process. I don't get a vote. I know Carver doesn't get a vote. I think it's unfair. But all in all, that's exactly what I brought out, the nationalities. I think it's great for the league.
All right, hold on, Muzzy. Don't go anywhere. We'll talk about some more people when we come right back. It's Golden Muzzy on the bench. All right, Pharrell on the bench with Nick Alberga, a.k.a. the Golden Muzzy legend. So when you're watching this NBA game, like if you've watched the first two games, you may have watched a lot of games from the bubble on top of hockey. Like I watch everything, right? So when you're watching these games, do you think that – have you ever seen anything like how they – and I'm just being honest – how the Lakers cry. I mean, they'll be up 20 and they still question every call. Every single whistle, there's this drama. Like, I just saw Dwight Howard absolutely obliterate Joker in the lane with a cheap shot from behind, like just crucifying him in the lower back. And then when it was over, he raised both arms up like somebody had just stole his car. And I thought he should have gotten a flagrant, his second tech, and been ejected from the game. He's playing dirty. They manipulate the refs. At the end of the half, I thought that ref that was standing next to LeBron when they walked off together, I thought they were going to go make love. That's how deep they are in their heads. I mean, the Nuggets say nothing the entire game ever to the refs, basically. And the Lakers question every call. In fact, I think the Lakers question the Nuggets calls, too. They question their calls and the Laker calls. They question everything. And I think they should save money, fire Frank Vogel, because he's worthless. He just stands there picking his nose, wondering where all his hair went. And the bottom line is LeBron is the coach of the team, player coach.
I'm just thankful that Muppet Kawhi Leonard didn't go to the Los Angeles Lakers, or this wouldn't even be a series at all, right? Like, I think LA, they're going to win the title. I'm sorry to say it for people who hate the Los Angeles. They're going to win. Denver's not going to beat them. Miami will put up a good shot. I do feel it's going to be Miami. I love the way Jimmy Butler and Goran Dragic and those guys are playing right now. LeBron in the playoffs and LeBron with the refs on his side, like, it's full, like, corporation WWE mode, I see.
Yeah. Do you you mean the Heat and the Celtics, are they in the NBA? Those two teams?
Yeah, exactly. What, 32 days off now or what?
Yeah. Like, what is that you're talking about? The Heat? I don't remember. Were they in the bubble? I mean, honestly, like, how long? 3 days off. I mean, can you imagine if you took 3 days off? They'd think you were on meth. They'd be like, where is he? We haven't seen the Golden Muzzy in 3 days. All right, so let me ask you about the hockey scene in terms of what you saw. Like, did you read that article? I don't know if you read it, but I was blown away when I read it. Now, I can't remember everything from it because I got early for Alzheimer's. But I read that, you know, our boy Wazinski from ESPN did the story about the nine guys that basically – the whistleblowers, if you will, that talked about what it was really like in the bubble. Did you read that thing with all the eating gummy bears and drinking and going to the bar up on the roof and being in the courtyard was like being in Leavenworth in prison. And then guys were their room service bills were in the thousands, and that the food sucked, and that all the things they promised them that were going to be there, and like letting their families and all these people, like their girlfriends and everything else, that those were all lies, that they didn't get any of that. Could you even believe that article?
I could not believe it. I did skim through it. Pardon my French. It's, you know, a bunch of millionaires bitching about nothing. Like, come on, give me a break. You guys make $6-8 million a season. And I think it was more so probably guys in Edmonton than Toronto. From what I heard, the bubble and what they promised at least was way better and way more to the picture in Toronto than it was in Edmonton. But let's be honest, how many teams actually made it past, 20 days in the bubble? Like, you've got to be kidding me, right?
I mean,
there was I think 38 days in, there was 8 teams left or 6 teams left. These guys made it sound like they were in the bubble for 7 months, you know?
Did you hear the one guy say he ordered, what did he say? He had to order Uber Eats every night of the week.
He ordered a steak 5 nights a week. He's like, you know, yeah. I love steak, but I had to eat steak 5 out of 7 nights a week. Jeez, we're sorry.
Did you hear him say that if they had to do it again, they would only do it if they if they had a chance to win the Stanley Cup. That would be the only way they would go back into a bubble, is if it was playoffs only, because they would never do it for the whole season. Well, I don't think they're going to make them do it for the whole season. I think that would actually be like going to San Quentin. They can't put hockey players in a 7-month bubble. It'd be impossible. Don't you think they're just going to have another hockey season? When do you think it'll happen, Nick, in terms of hockey? Are they going to start in November or something, October? What are they going to do? And do you think they're just going to be like baseball and go city to city and just no one's allowed in the arena?
So first, I got to give props to the NHL, because my biggest concern being a 31-year-old single dude here in Toronto are these guys stepping out of line. So they deserve a lot of props, especially when you look at the stupidity we saw in the NBA. What was his name? Daniel House or whatever? Ended up bringing a COVID tester. Like, how dumb do you got to be? That's the worst thing I've ever seen, and how selfish a professional athlete can be. But anyways, I think they deserve props. What I'm hearing, and I talked to a player the other day who's, you know, pretty involved in the situation, it sounds like it's unlikely we get to December 1st. It seems more likely at this point in time that it's going to be around January 1st. I think in a perfect world, the NHL wants as much a crowd as possible, whether it is starting with one or without one, and you know, gradually getting to that point. Again, in a perfect world, I think they would love to start with the Winter Classic. I just don't know if they're going to get there. And to answer your question about are they going to go city to city, it really depends upon the biggest variable, in my opinion, and that's the Canadian border. As you guys know, it's still closed. That's why the Toronto Blue Jays are playing in Buffalo. And you want to talk about feeling bad for athletes, I feel bad for the Toronto Blue Jays. We're getting destroyed again tonight by the New York Yankees in Buffalo. But I think that's the biggest stumbling block to having an actual NHL season that mirrors what we saw in the past, is the border, because they won't let American teams into this country to play. And that's a big time problem, if you ask me, considering there's 7 Canadian teams out of 31 in the league. So we'll see. With even each and every passing day, and I was talking to Carver off air, the numbers here in Canada are starting to spike just a tad, and it looks like the second wave, it's on its way. I just think they're going to try to push this back. And you know, the only other thing again is the border. There's a lot of concern with that right now, clearly.
Do you think I'll end up dying in my daughter's bedroom of COVID?
Yes. Yes, unequivocally. I think there's a better chance of that than Denver winning this game tonight.
Right. Because honestly, because I saw today that you're talking about the spike. I saw the the American you know, they showed a graph, charts and graphs, Carver High. They showed the map of the U.S. and like literally 33 states are seeing massive spikes in COVID, that it's coming back. And New York and New Jersey are right in the middle of it all, like, just like before, and that we're all going to die. And now over 1 million people have died of it, 200,000 in the U.S. I don't know what the numbers are in Canada, but I just know that. Like my daughter's school, she went to school for like a week and someone got it. And then they shut it down for 2 weeks. And now she's going back tomorrow. And how long before they shut it down again? Notre Dame got 13 cases, 7 player, boom, canceled the Wake Forest game. They've canceled, you know, 5 or 6 college football games per week. I cannot believe the NFL has had 2 weeks and no cancellations, to be honest with you. And the only thing that's worked is the NHL and NBA. And I know that they're going to start playing high school football around here. And I think they're doomed. I just don't believe it's going to work. And I think Big Ten's going to start up. They're going to miss games. Pac-12's going to start up. They're going to miss games. SEC, ACC, Big 12, they're going to miss games. They already are. You know, Baylor, Houston got canceled. I just think it's crazy. So I think I'm going to end up dying right next to my daughter's underwear cabinet in her bedroom. And I have not, because that's where I do the show from.
You put the capital F in facetiousness, and at the end of the day, I can die happy because John Tavares is a Maple Leaf. So
that's true. You know, I'm going back to the Meadowlands soon. I'm going back to the Meadowlands soon to do this to do the TV show. And I don't think I'm going to die from COVID there. I actually think I'm going to die from being around all the freaks that go there.
Can we set a poll for this?
Honestly, Carver High, you know, how about the chick with that's losing all her hair, that like picks her teeth all day and bets 10 cents a race?
You've got a bigger problem with her than you do with anything else.
She's always winking at me. She like wants to make out with me, and she's like, I mean, she is right out of the trash can. I can't even deal with her. And meanwhile, she does the whole bit where she rolls her finger in her hair and pulls out chunks of her hair. And I'm just like watching her pull out chunks of her hair. And I do entire shows on it.
Like, so those are losing bets. Those are her tickets that she's pulling out of her.
Yeah, those are the horses she bet. She'll bet 10 cents a horse on like a 50 tracks around the world nonstop for like 16 hours a day. And she'll eat one hot dog for her entire day of food and then have a cold beer. I love her. She's a rock star. In between her 6 packs of cigarettes out in front of the place.
Got to get them in before the roll day. Got to act those darts, right?
I mean, I just want to know, like, is it going to be here? Is it going to be there? Where am I going to die? One day the guy said to me, yeah, we're going back to New York City. I go, I'm not going back to New York City. I'm between the gunfire, murders. What did they call it the other day? Like, they called New York City, what was it? Anarchist zone. I live in an anarchist zone. Like, I'm going to go out and even get you know what I did? I told the guy to stop delivering my newspaper. I go, I don't trust you either. Stay away from my house. That's what I said to him.
I don't know if you guys have done it during the pandemic, but I order food and I'm like, yeah, just leave it at the door. It's just like the best excuse not to talk to these people, you know?
I think they do that anyway here now. They have this thing called DoorDash, and the guy doesn't even ring the doorbell. He just leaves it on your step. So one day my son said, here, I'm going to order you dinner, Dad. Don't even worry about it. I got it. I'm going to order you dinner. So I said, all right, well, what do I do? He goes, I'm getting you Chick-fil-A or something. They'll just bring it. I go, all right, great. So like an hour and a half goes by, and I text him. I go, man, I never got the food or anything. And he goes, look outside. And I looked out and there's this bag of food sitting on my front step. And I go, well, why didn't he ring the doorbell? He goes, nah, they don't ring the doorbell. They just leave it there. I said, well, it's been sitting there for 2 hours. And when I ate it, the bun was wet. I wanted to kill him. It's unbelievable.
For you, my man.
Stress.
Just to close, you know, I think the National Hockey League, the NBA, deserve a lot of credit for the bubble mentality. The NBA game, I think, has been incredible, aside from the reffing, which is always the Montreal right. screw job every time it's out. But I think they deserve a lot of respect because Major League Baseball certainly doesn't.
What do you think was better, the Stanley Cup or the NBA playoffs? Because when hockey ends, I'm going to end up literally in a shrink's office 4 days a week without hockey. I'm going to end up like, I'm going to be picking my teeth. I'm going to be chewing my fingernails, scratching my onions, and I'm going to be talking to myself in the car. And people are going to think I'm weird at intersections because I'm going to be speaking in tongues without hockey.
Yeah, I'm with you too, guys. And as somebody who doesn't watch football at all, I don't know what I'm going to do from what, mid-October till January when sports come back. It's going to be difficult, but hang in there, okay?
What do you do? You don't watch football. What do you do? Go to a movie? I mean, what do you do? Read a book?
Nah, I just can't. Well, I don't like football. I've never liked football. It's weird. Baseball, hockey, basketball is my forte.
Yeah, I just want you to know, just so you have an inside skinny. How much time do I got, Carver High? Okay, I watched the Yankee Blue Jay game tonight, and I literally think that people waste their money on heroin because I turned that game on. I was in Nova Scotia. I was so high, sleeping. I was out cold. Like I had done a needle in my arm. Baseball is literally morphine, fentanyl, heroin, all in one clip. I gotta go. Yeah, I love you. You're a best. You're the best ever. All right. So Saturday, I know that most of you watch. You know, I guess like what NBA, NHL, maybe some college football day, and then you might get into some UFC Adesanya. Here's a plan: smash all those stupid ass ideas. Same thing you've been doing for 3-4 months. Every single week, I want to literally jump into the ocean and just hold my breath until I'm dead because I'm sick and tired of it. I need to see a great fight. I need to see boxing. I can't get enough. If I don't get some boxing in me, I'm doomed. So this Saturday, the 26th, how about a two-stacked fight card, 5 title fights, Showtime pay-per-view Charlo doubleheader? How does that sound? I mean, does that not sound... 6 compelling fights, incredibly delicious, if you ask me. 5 world titles on the line. You got the twins, Jermell and Jermall Charlo, attempting to defend their titles in separate 3 fight cards on the same night from Mohegan. They're going to fight, and they're going to have 3 title fights, then a 30-minute intermission, then 3 more title fights. It's like all-night boxing galore on Showtime pay-per-view. $74.99. You can't beat the price. That's for 6 fights, 5 title fights for that price. You got to admit that's the best pay-per-view deal ever if you're a fight fan. And you pay for these cards, you pay for these MMA cards, you pay for boxing, and you get to see 1 fight, 1 card, whatever. This is 2 different cards for that price. I think it's incredible. WBC super welterweight champ Jermell Charlo takes on Jason Rosario, the 154-pound WBA and IBF champ, so they'll unify that deal. And then the WBC middleweight champ, Jermall Charlo, who's 30-0. He's had 6 title fights, 4 knockouts in those 6, 6-0 in all of them. He's fighting the Ukraine, Darian Chenko, who lives in I mean, are you kidding me? And then they got 3 more title fights in the 118, 122-pound class. Some of the best young fighters in the world fighting on this card. Go to Showtime.com for your cable operator Showtime app to order the fights.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.